welcome to the Big Finish podcast. Hello, my name's Nick Briggs, but that is very much as may be. Big Finish, as you probably know, are the purveyors of fine audio drama and audio books, featuring things like Doctor Who and Blake Seven and Torchwood and Sherlock Holmes and The Avengers and Bernice Summerfield and... oh, so much. The Confessions of Dorian Gray. The Prisoner. Did I say that? Anyway, welcome to a slightly shorter podcast than has been the tradition for the last three podcasts. My excuse for this is that I'm due to fly off to Maryland for a Doctor Who convention, where I promise to get at least one, possibly more, interesting interviews. So coming up in a moment, some Big Finish news. That'll be followed by our guest interview with Cavan Scott, the producer of the Big Finish Blake Seven range. He's also had other considerable Big Finish experience. So Cav and I will be chatting through the wonder of Cav's brand new microphone. And so now here's the Big Finish news. There is a new Cyberman collection coming out. When I say new, it is in fact the old series of Cyberman and Cyberman 2 collected in a box set. There'll be a special pre-order price, which will be very reasonable. There'll be new packaging collecting both series of Cyberman, obviously, as I just mentioned. There'll be a bonus disc with the Cyberman 2 documentary on it, and plus new extra material. There's a little documentary which deals with the unique way in which Cyberman, the first series, was recorded. It'll be launching at the Day of the Cyberman event from 10th Planet. And as you may have noticed, not all of the original individual discs are still available. They've gone out of print, as it were, but those that are still available will be reduced in price once this new Cyberman collection is released. There's a new trailer from Torchwood, Ghost Mission. It's the third story of the second series and stars Tom Price as Sergeant Andy Davidson, finally recruited to join Torchwood. He's interviewed by a new character called Norton Folgate, played by Samuel Barnett. Norton is a Torchwood agent from the 1950s. He is now also a ghost. It's out in May.
Good morning. Mind if I join you?
What?
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Torchwood. Ghost Mission.
Sergeant Davidson.
Andy, please. My friends call me Andy.
I'm Norton Folgate, Torchwood Assessor. Here's my card.
Torchwood has business cards.
They did in my day. Huh? I've been appointed to see if you're ready to join the new Torchwood.
What? Gwen has finally decided to let me in.
This is a day all about you. I've been sent here to assess you. I've come all the way from 1953, so you may have to fill in a few gaps.
1953?
Well, that's just how we do it sometimes. Guarantees impartiality. Also, it means I can't interfere. I'm... well...
Oh, my God, you're a ghost!
2016, yes? You have holograms and nano-printers, don't you?
Yeah,
and a ghost, he says. Open mind, Sergeant. Now then, ready?
Actually, I quite fancy the loo. Can I just...
Tough. Test due to start in... ooh, now.
Big Finish. We love stories.
Sergeant Andy Davidson, we are on.
And a discounted Torchwood Series 2 subscription is still available until March the 31st. Doctor Who, The Peterloo Massacre and Doctor Who, The Paradise Planet have also been released. As you may have spotted, Peterloo stars Peter Davison as the Fifth Doctor and The Paradox Planet stars Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor. And so, yes, it's that time of the podcast where at a top secret London location, I'm now going to try and contact Cavan Scott, the producer of Blake Seven, just many other things. He's done all sorts of things for Big Finish. So let's see if this works. Oh, yeah, that's working.
Hello.
Hello, Cav.
Oh, how are you doing?
Oh, this sounds better than our last effort.
I know, anyone would think that I'm taking it seriously this time.
Look at you with your proper microphone and everything.
It's almost like the end of the tax year and I'm having to randomly buy things for expenses.
That looks like a nice microphone.
It is a nice microphone, yes. I splashed out a bit of cash. I'm doing loads of podcasts for the comic stuff in the States.
Wow.
And I was fed up of listening to myself sounding rubbish.
Good.
Yeah. Set myself up.
Nice.
How are you doing anyway?
Yeah, right? I'm all right. Are we going to be hearing a Cavan Scott podcast soon?
There might be something happening. As of a couple of hours ago, I am now the number one best-selling author in the UK.
Yes, get in there. That's for your Star Wars spin-off
thing, Star Wars
isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a Star Wars best-selling book. But
they bought it for your name, mate,
obviously,
clearly.
So that's all very exciting, and my agent's getting far too excited for her own good.
You'll probably be so important I won't be able to talk to you soon.
I'll still remember you, Nigel.
To the man who, you know, I sent you that email calling you Scott.
Yes, but I thought I was back in maths classes and getting things wrong.
Sincerely, the mistake was that I just saw, the last thing I saw was your surname, and I was really shocked by your email when you said Briggs. I thought, what's that about? Because in my head, I would have testified in court under oath to say that I'd said Cav. That's exactly what I thought. And then I thought, I called him Scott. Too many emails to Scott Hancock, that's what it is. So, Cav, tell us what's new and interesting in your... Well, first of all, the Blake 7 world for you.
Mm. Well, we finally have Volume 12 of the Liberated Chronicles coming out this month, which is very exciting, which wraps up a lot of the storylines we've introduced over the years, because it's the last one of the actual Liberated Chronicles before more different exciting things happen for Blake 7 at Big Finish. So we've decided to wrap up some of the ongoing storylines, including one that started all the way back with Volume 3 in the award-winning The Armageddon Storm by Mark Wright and some bloke. And that's been rumbling on in the background. With basically, spoilers, left Avon in charge of a world-destroying weapon, which Avon should never be in charge of.
That sounds risky to me.
Exactly. So we thought we'd better deal with that. So we deal with that and a few other loose ends that have been lying around and waiting for this moment for them all to come together.
What was the award?
It was the Scribe Award, which is given. The Scribe Awards are given at San Diego Comic Con every year, and they're an award for excellence in tie-in writing. So, you know, the kind of stuff we do at Big Finish when we tie into different shows and properties, which a lot of the times don't get noticed by awards because people, you know, think, you know, it's something that's tied into a show or a comic or something like that. But the Scribes are specifically for those things that, you know, like Big Finish, like the stuff we produce, things that people love. So for books of TV shows, books of films, comic books and audio as well. And so, yeah, I think Big Finish does very well in Scribes. And that year, a couple of years ago, it was the turn of Blake 7.
Nice. So, I mean, can you take us through why, obviously you're wrapping up storylines, but why going to the more full cast adventures rather than the Liberator Chronicles?
I mean, the thing is, I mean, people like them. So, you know, the ultimate, you want to hear all your heroes together. Blake 7 is an ensemble show. It's, you know, it's a team. So hearing them together is brilliant. And we've cracked it now, I think, on sort of getting everyone together.
Well done, I see.
Yeah, these are rebels that the Federation have been looking for a long time. And, you know, it is a bit of a logistical nightmare to gather everyone together. But we've run two very successful series of full cast audios now with the crew. And they've gone down so well that it was a case of, well, do you know what? If we're going to do Blake 7, let's do that because people love it. And while I don't think there might be some return to the sort of Liberator Chronicle-esque tales because they are lovely. You do get to get inside the head of the characters, which in some characters in Blake 7 is a good thing. In other ways, it's absolutely terrifying. being inside the head of Servalan is just, well, no one should see that, yeah. Nick. The things we've seen.
I must, if I were wearing a hat, I would take it off to you for the, you know, the logistical solutions you've put in place to make all this happen. Well done. We really are grateful to you.
You've got a cast, you know, you've got a show that is based on seven characters, right?
Yeah.
One of them's a computer, but, you know, it's that's a big old cast. And that's before you get into guest stars and other recurring characters.
Yeah.
So it's a big team. But, you know, when you get them together, it's brilliant. It's like herding cats a lot of the time because, I mean, it's like, and you know what actors are like, Nick.
I don't know what you mean.
But you get them in a room and, you know, and I've produced someone called Nicholas Briggs, Sherlock Holmes in a Doctor Who. And
oh, yes.
I mean, that's bad enough. You get actors together in a room, they start talking and stories start coming out and
it's
anecdotes.
True.
And you have anecdote wars as people combat against each other.
It's true.
And, you know, and with Blake Seven, a lot of the time, the cast haven't really seen each other, especially in a working environment, since they stopped doing the show. So getting them in together, it's a wonderful atmosphere. And they work so well together because, you know, they know these characters backwards.
Yeah.
And so, why wouldn't we want to hear them?
And what's the first clip?
So the first clip is from the first story in the collection, which is Andy Lane has written it. Andy Lane, obviously a Doctor Who writer of old, young Sherlock Holmes, various other things. It's called Corners of the Mind. Now, this is a Avon story. Avon telling the story to Callie. Avon is trapped in a ziggurat, which is basically there to trick him into giving up his mind. So here we have Avon. He's in the middle of the trap. He's talking to Callie, who's back on the Liberator, cut off from him, and he starts to realise that things aren't exactly how he remembered.
I seem to be babbling. That is uncharacteristic.
Actually, it's rather endearing.
Callie, I'm serious. Whatever it is at the centre of this maze is affecting my thoughts. It's excavating memories that I haven't thought about in years and forcing me to relive them. I can accept losing memories, but I don't like having something rummaging around in my thoughts. It's unsettling.
We are less than 10 minutes away now. Just stay where you are.
I don't have that luxury, and I want to find out what's doing this before I lose the memory of something that is actually important, like how to breathe. I'm at the next door. Callie, what was I saying? I've lost track.
You were telling me about Freedom City.
Freedom City? Never been there.
Nice.
Yes.
When's that out?
So that's the first one in Liberator Chronicles. That's out this April. That's Paul Darrow, of course, as Zavon, and Jan Chappell as Callie.
Shall we move on to the second clip?
So yes, Corners of Mind is the first story in the box set. Stories 2 and 3 are linked. Story 1 is called Capital. Stories 2 is called Punishment. See what we did there?
Oh.
Capital, Punishment. Both by Guy Adams, the wonderful Guy Adams.
We love Guy, we do.
We do love Guy. I'm wearing a T-shirt right now that says, I love Guy.
He's like getting a lot of work from us.
He is, really.
How did that all happen? Whose fault was that?
Well, I think that originally Guy worked for me and Mark when we were producing Iris. I'd known Guy for a while. And when we were doing a wonderful story, well, we wanted Carnacki in it. Carnacki, obviously, who recently Big Finish have produced the stories of.
Mm-hmm.
And so Guy, I know, loved Carnacki. So he came in and wrote us a wonderful sort of Hammer Horror version of it. If Hammer Horror did Irish Wild Time, that's what it would be. And then from that, you know, James Goss has nicked him to do everything else. But I've also worked with Guy on Vienna, and he wrote the adaptation of All Consuming Fire.
I met him, I think. Oh, no, actually, I met him when he was doing a Bernice Summerfield.
That's right. Yeah. And he's been doing Torchwood recently, and he's doing Doctor Who, and he is brilliant. But I thought I might write this two-parter because it was wrapping up a lot of the storylines that Mark and I had put into place. But it just soon became obvious that I was doing, you know, organising it was going to be bad enough, writing it would just slow everything down. So I thought, who's the person that I really want to wrap it all up? And it was Guy, and he came up with this wonderful two-parter that reintroduces David Warner, who we brought into the Blake Seven universe as Villa's dad, which is Michael Keaton and David Warner together just make the greatest partnership. But in this story, it's Stephen Pacey who first meets up with Tavak, who's who's the character that David plays, meets up on Earth in the capital city. Capital, see? It's all a play on words. And here we have David and Stephen as Tarrant and Tavok meeting up in the remnants of the mayor's the mayor's hall in London.
This is nothing to do with us. We don't owe mutoids anything. We should just walk away before it notices us.
Callie wasn't happy about that. She always was the softest of us. But Avon knew I was right. He stared a moment longer, then nodded, pointing towards the far end of the street. And just for a moment, things could have gone our way. But then...
Help! Over here! Avon!
Tavok, hemmed into a doorway, the creature between him and us.
Please, you can't leave me here. You can't! Hold on. It's noticed me. Avon!
Avon didn't say a word. He didn't have to. He just gave a low growl in his throat, raised his gun, and...
Guns are having no effect. All we're doing is making ourselves a target.
Very nice. Two lovely actors there as well.
They were so Pacey and Stephen's so good. I mean, the thing is, Stephen, I don't know if people know, he records so many audiobooks. I mean, you know, there are so many, you'll listen to audiobooks and you don't realise half the time it's Stephen Pacey because he's so good at voices. So getting in behind the mic to do a Liberator Chronicles, it was just like watching a master at work because he gets everyone. He does a really good Avon as well. Don't tell Paul Darrow. he made us all, there was a bit of a shiver when he started doing Avon because we were like, oh, where is Paul? If we smack him in, but no, he's so good at voices, and he's so good at, he gives a very, very focused and very energetic performance as Tarrant. As Tarrant basically gets, well, as you look at, if you see the back of the CD, Tarrant gets killed.
What?
What? No.
Are you crazy?
Surely we wouldn't kill off one of the main characters in Blake 7 years before they're actually killed off. But you have to listen and find out how.
Oh, you see, I'm tantalised now.
I can see.
Is this in Punishment or Capital?
This is Capital, so okay. This is the beginning. So yeah, this is Tarrant has had a call. The Liberator has had a message come through to them saying that Tavok is alive, and not only that, he has secrets about the Armageddon Storm, and they might want to go and see him because he also says, "I have someone here you might know, a certain chap called Blake."
Well, and so. And so, on to Punishment.
So Punishment, yes. So
I always wanted to say that to you, Cat.
and you've punished me so many times. So with Punishment, we get Michael back to, as Villa because we have to reunite him with his father. And Villa is captured. Villa is being held prisoner by the Federation and being interrogated. And we find out exactly what happened when he met his father, a father he thought had A, abandoned him, and B, he had killed. So, yes, this is where he meets his dad just after he's come to rescue Tarrant.
It's getting worse! Of course it is. In a few hours, the whole planet will be a lifeless rock.
You think I don't know that? You're talking to someone who was stood on the last planet this thing was fired at. Sure, the whole planet and everyone on it dying all around me.
You're still here, aren't you?
Yes, still right here, waiting to go through all that again.
Get a grip. Panicking won't help.
Oh, fine, yes. Now you say that, I'm completely relaxed. Today's a perfect day. Everything's fine. What the hell is that?
One of the old mayor's lions we met earlier. It sounds damaged. Maybe the weapon's affecting it somehow.
Good!
Now, the guns don't work on it. You're just making it angry. Stop it!
I'll stop shooting when it stops wanting to eat me.
Look at it!
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, there you go.
And again, they work so well together. Again, it's, you know, it's Michael is superb as Villa. I think, you know,
he's and he's a lovely chap, isn't he?
Oh, he is a yeah. Going talking about his rambling. He's a rambler, and every time I contact him and say, Michael, come back and do some more Liberator Chronicles or Blake Seminole, whatever, he says, I will, but I'm on top of the Andes at the minute, or I'm on the equator, or I'm in Wales. What, you know, much
that's to say. Serious rambling, isn't it?
Yeah, he
it means walking for anyone who doesn't know.
But he walks quite fast. It's fast. I struggle to keep up with him.
He's had a lot of practice, mate. That's why.
That's it. And he's also, you know, run away from lots of Federation guards. and they've got a wonderful relationship behind the mic, those two characters. They're constantly getting it. Villa's the comic relief, you know, for a lot of Blake Seven. But what we've tried to do is say that with Villa, it's all self-defense for him. You know, he puts on this act. He is a bit of a coward, but he amplifies it. What we're seeing in these stories is Villa when no one else is looking. Uh-huh. So you get to see, you know, so he hasn't got to put on the act for Avon and all the rest. He can be a bit more of himself, and he comes up against the man who should have known him better than anyone else, but him, who turned his back on him.
This is brilliant.
It is.
Yeah, it's almost like listening to the audio production itself, listening to you talk about it.
Well, you know,
I'm enthralled.
These characters and these storylines we have been working on, you know, throughout the Liberator Chronicles for a long time now, from before when I took it over, when David was doing it. And, you know, and it is good to sort of see all these things come together while also dropping in the odd hint to the future as well. But if you've listened to the last few box sets of the Liberator Chronicles, there might be things that hint at what we're going to do in the future with Blake Seven.
Can you give us any more hints? I mean, what's coming up after this release?
Well, we are working at the minute on a series of forecast audios. We've said that all along. And we're gathering together the original crew. And we are recasting some of the original crew because obviously the sad fact of doing Blake Seven is Gan's no longer with us. So we are finding a new Gan because you can't do a full cast without him being there. And so that's exciting that it's given us a chance.
It's controversial, isn't it, though?
It is controversial, but, you know, it's. I talked to all the cast beforehand as well. They were all on board. And it is that kind of, if people want full cast audios with the original cast of The Liberator, the original crew of The Liberator, we can't have Gan always going off to the toilet. When we managed to have the search for Dana recently because we didn't have Dana, but you can't keep doing it, you know. So we have the search for Gan going on behind the scenes at the minute. So we've got some wonderful stories coming up. We'll be introducing some new characters. We'll be bringing back some old. It's maximum power. As far as Blake Seven is concerned, a big
finish. I see what you did there.
I know. I've always wanted to say that.
Are you concerned about fan reaction to recasting?
There has been people, who we talked about it at Big Finish Day recently, and there were some people who literally said, "I'm not talking to you," as I came off the stage. But, you know, a lot of time, there's been recasting before in Blake Seven, of course.
Those BBC releases.
To BBC, and Travis was obviously played by two different characters. Two different actors.
They are characters, both of them.
They are. It is something that's happened. There's been the BBC adaptations to varying levels of success.
But hopefully
they know with Big Finish that we're going to take this, we're going to take this seriously. We're going to try and match up a performance. So it's not an impersonation, but it's, it's true to the character. And so Lisa, who's our wonderful director, Lisa Bauman, she's got a short list she's working through at the minute for Gan and some other characters as well.
Wow. And I think that the message is, that this is done by people who love Blake Seven, isn't it? It's all...
I
mean, the listeners can feel safe in that knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, we've all grown up with that series, and just like, the people who work on Doctor Who, all the series that Big Finish put together, it's put by together by people who are fans and who invested so much and they don't want to get it wrong, When I hear that theme tune kicking in, when I'm going through, I've just gone through the edits of these three audios. When I hear that theme tune, it's a responsibility, because it has to be something that's true to the original series, while hopefully pushing it in different directions as well. And as we said with Villa, giving him slightly different things to do. We're all committed to making the best possible Blake Seven we can.
Now, if you've heard either of the last two podcasts, when I chat to people, I ask them about what's tingling their molecules at Big Finish at the moment that they're working on. Is it Blake 7 that's mainly tingling you, or are you working on other things at Blake 7?
I'm working on things
Big
I
Finish.
Can't talk
Blake
about.
7, what? Yes.
Blake 7. I'm working on things I can't talk about at the minute.
I'm you, also can you just mime it to me over the screen?
Yes. I'm currently putting together the edit of Paul Darrow's autobiography.
Oh, yes.
You're him, aren't you? Which is coming out later on in the year. I think it's August. So that's Paul's memoirs about his life and career in typical Paul Darrow style, with an added chapter to talk about his work with Big Finish as well. So that's very exciting. But yeah, I'm afraid I would have to kill you if I told you.
No, I realise that. Almost the moment I asked the question. So. Yes, I thought, why have I bothered asking that? and now I'm going to ask you what's tingling your molecules. Generally, it's, you know, stuff that's entertaining you that you're either reading or watching or, you know, or listening to, anything. I mean, to give you a guide, I two podcasts ago, I said The Sweeney because I've been watching it on the ITV player. Anyway, but go on.
There's a show called The Leftovers, which I'm watching at the minute, which stars a certain Mr. Christopher Eccleston. It's an HBO show. It's amazing. It's basically, the idea is that on a certain day, a few years ago, a proportion of the population just vanished. Literally, no one knows where they've gone. They were standing, talking to people 1 minute, and they were gone. They were in the back of the cars, and they were gone. And it's basically what happened to the people who were left, the literal leftovers, and how they coped with this part, you know, this mass exodus, and no one knows where it is. And it's fascinating. It's not the happiest of viewing experiences. It's quite serious at times. Christopher Eccleston plays a minister, an American minister, who is determined to prove that the people who were taken weren't taken up to glory in the rapture or whatever. They were just normal sinners like everyone else, and they shouldn't be, you know, worshipped. And yeah, it's just a fascinating. It's one of those great HBO shows that perhaps not so many people have heard about, but it really grabs you and it's just wonderful storytelling. Big cast every week's a different member of the cast sort of from their point of view. So that's rather marvellous.
Yeah.
I love that. But yeah, as I said, it's not always the happiest thing to watch.
Well, I've been watching the original series of Survivors just recently.
Oh right, yes.
Yeah. I bought the old box set off the local market for some ridiculously cheap price. So I've been really, and that's not the happiest show, is it?
No.
I was slightly distracted by the fact that after I asked you that question, someone above my flat started doing some very loud hoovering. You might be able to hear sort of strange.
Well, it's good that they're cleaner.
That hoovering or sawing. I don't know what they're doing, but anyway. So I missed.
Sorry,
where can I see the Leftovers? Where can I catch up with it?
At the minute, I think it's only available if you purchase it from a streaming service or something like that.
So I can get it on iTunes.
On iTunes, that's where I bought it from.
Oh well, I think I'll do that. I just bought Wayward Pines on John Ainsworth's recommendation.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of that?
No, I haven't, no. Is that good? What's that about?
Well, it's a bit like The Prisoner. It's about a secret agent who wakes up in a strange village.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No.
By an M. Night Shyamalan has executive produced it, which isn't always a recommendation, he said controversially.
Well, it was recommended to me by a chap called Rob Williams, who Doctor Who comic readers will know as one of the writers on the 11th Doctor comic series, and he writes lots of wonderful comics, including Unfollow by coming from Vertigo at the minute. And he says he bases a lot of his plotting on sort of this structure of shows, HBO shows, because they, you know, it's a very different way of working. It's like, you know, that box set mentality. And he recommended it, and it's well worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth a watch. And you're the second person tonight who's mentioned Survivors to me. I've just come back from the Concord Book Awards, which is a local South Gloucestershire book awards for the library service, that kids in the area recommend books and vote for them. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the book was, the winner of the award, Fearless, was compared to Survivors by the compare, who then all the kids were going, the what? You know, so hopefully they're now going to rush out and find who might publish Survivors these days.
Yes, they could listen to some audios.
Exactly.
Yes, and I just wanted to mention, because you mentioned it briefly before we actually started our chat, and, you know, who knows, I may edit that bit out, about your work on the Titan Doctor Who comics. You do loads of work for them, don't you?
Yeah, so we got the I wrote the Ninth Doctor miniseries last year for the Ninth Doctor's 10th anniversary, which is crazy. And it was such a success, thankfully, that we're coming back with an ongoing series launching in April. So Doctor Mania, which is the first story arc, is coming out in a few weeks' time with the Ninth Doctor Rose and Captain Jack reunited again.
Wow, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, I know that you're an extremely busy person and no blowing of any kind of gaseous substances up your trouser leg, but we're very lucky to have you, Cav. I know you're very busy and I know we all appreciate all the hard work you do on all the ranges you work on. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And it's great to talk to you, and thanks for taking time to do that. I think we both had to rush back from things we were doing to make this interview happen. So brilliant.
But thank Nick, you. I will rush anywhere for you.
I'm just pulled over. And I'm particularly impressed by your microphone. You can't see mine. It's out of shot. And also right. You can't hear mine. All you can hear is me talking through my rubbish computer microphone. Yeah. But the recording doesn't have. I don't know why I'm explaining this. I've just made myself very bored.
I've fallen asleep.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You've painted your eyes onto your glasses to make it look as if you're still awake.
Always.
All right, mate. Well, thanks ever so much.
No, thank you.
And we may both return to our lives. I'm going to boil some sprouts now.
Oh, I love a boiled sprout.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, we're a match made in heaven. So really not are. Even my wife likes sprouts. Can you believe it? She's sprouts. A vegetarian and she doesn't like sprouts.
Well, they have a bad rap, sprouts.
They do. It's so trendy to say they're horrible, and they are gorgeous.
And for my daughters, they've been renamed fairy cabbages, which apparently makes them totally edible.
Brilliant. I love radishes as well. How are you with radishes?
Well, yeah, quite often. I've started, instead of snacking on biscuits and sweets in the day, I've started snacking on radishes.
That's good. I was at the studio, I was at the Soundhouse today being Sherlock Holmes, and I snacked on both biscuits and radishes. I don't know whether one cancelled the other. Yeah. So I'm sort of healthy, but getting fat as well. Brilliant. Anyway, I'll go away. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions.
My hero, so kind of you to finally show up.
Are you listening?
This is Curry Horn aboard the Liberator with a message for President Servalan for the entire Federation.
We've been quiet for a while. I bet you thought we'd gone away.
I possess the plans for PDX-10, the Armageddon Storm.
We were just biding our time, plotting, waiting for an opportunity.
And I have the resources to construct the weapon.
Now we're back in business.
My first target will be Earth.
The Federation won't know what's hit it.
This is your only warning.
The last time I was on a planet that had the Armageddon Storm pointed at it, it nearly killed me!
Evasive maneuvers.
Are you all right, Avon?
We need to get to the Liberator.
Well, you start walking and I'll catch you up.
Do you want to tell us to take cover, Avon, or shall I?
Don't leave me down here!
Some rescue this is!
I think I've just run out of time.
Avon!
Blake 7, The Liberator Chronicles, Volume 12.
Ha! Bet that got your attention.
Time now, before I run out of time, for the quick random mention of an old Big Finish release. This came out in July 2014. I find it astounding that it's so long ago now. It seems like yesterday to me. It's a Sixth Doctor release called Breaking Bubbles and Other Stories. And as we do from time to time in our Doctor Who main range, we have a story where there are four different episodes which feature four different individual stories. And the Sixth Doctor and Perry feature in this very popular pairing, the brilliant Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant. The stories were Breaking Bubbles by L.M. Miles, Of Chaos Time The by Mark Ravenhill, An Eye for Murder by Una McCormack, plus The Curious Incident of the Doctor in the Nighttime by Nev Fountain. four very individual different stories. A real pleasure for me to direct, and I think we had a lovely cast too. Anyway, bear that in mind, and here's the trailer.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, Breaking Bubbles and Other Stories.
May I ask how you got here?
Oh, the usual way.
Which is?
We landed.
In a spaceship?
That's right.
There's been an internal security breach.
Where?
Prisoner's cell. It's been locked.
What'd you do that?
No idea.
Ah! My jailers have arrived.
Oh, they don't sound very friendly.
Please tell me that doesn't mean they're going to shoot us.
I'm terribly sorry.
Bomb's through there.
Bomb? If I only had some idea what she was talking about. Ah.
Did you stop the launch?
Afraid not. If I can work out what's wrong with him, maybe I can work out what's wrong with me.
Doctor, say something! Oh, no. Doctor!
There's a choice coming for all of us. You don't want to pick unwisely. I have made my choices. I'll live with them.
Do you still have a drawing of this artifact, at least?
Here, this is what the artifact looks like.
Ew, that's creepy.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is not Johnson, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
It's Michael Andrew Jennings.
Oh, right.
Madam, prepare yourself for a shock. We intercepted a message beamed from this location. It's broadcast on a frequency used by an alien life form which closely resembles...
Oh.
Did you tell anyone at work about the gnomes?
No, Dad, you said not to. Are you trying to break out of my dad's shed?
No.
Great stuff, and I will be recommending another random story from the Big Finish archive in the next podcast. Also in the next podcast, there will be another spragtastic moment from our late, great, lamented colleague and friend, Paul Spragg, who was a fantastic contributor to the podcasts. And if you've got a special moment from an old podcast featuring Paul Spragg and you'd like to let us know about it so that we can play it, do email at podcast@bigfinish.com. Also coming up in the next podcast, our interview will be with Jamie Anderson, the son of the late, great Jerry Anderson. And Jamie, as well as working for Big Finish and producing Terrorhawks for us and directing the latest Master trilogy in the Doctor Who main range, has also been working on one of his late father's projects, Firestorm, Jerry Anderson's Firestorm, as it is known. And he has been producing a minisode pilot of this, and it's a whole new technique, very much in the tradition of Jerry Anderson's productions. It's called ultramarionation, so it does involve puppets. And I went along and visited the set to see what was going on. I've also provided a voice for the episode as well, and Jamie tells us all about it. So that's our interview in the next podcast. In the meantime, time for me to get my boarding documents together and head off to the United States of America. Bye for now.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions.
You want to know why I did it? Come closer, I'll tell you. The reason is because I am the Master.
Doctor Who, Vampire of the Mind.
I've had an email too. My application was fast-tracked. It seems I've been accepted. They're setting up a laboratory for me.
What?
The place has been empty for years. Must be halfway to falling down by now. It was always a weird place.
Oh, Dr. Scott, it's you.
Dr. Threadstone.
It's Heather. Damien, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Call me Damien.
Oh, there's a figure. Several figures. I can't quite make them out. But there is something odd about them. They're moving like they're in a daze.
Pale as corpses, they said, wandering about in a trance-like. Since then, you'll be lucky to find anyone who'll go near the place after dark.
Doctor! Doctor, oh. Do something! Help me!
Don't worry, Heather! I will! Somehow!
You really won't, you know. But don't you worry, Doctor. It'll be your turn soon enough.
Big Finish. We love stories.
I'm a Time Lord. Of course I'm inhuman.
This is Planetary Assault Force Delta, Regimental Command. If you're reading us, the situation is critical. All battalions report heavy casualties. Enemy forces moving on all fronts. Superior numbers. Their best weapons. We can't stop them. We are under heavy fire here. If you can hear this, fleet, we need urgent evacuation. You have got to get us out of here. The intel was wrong. We dropped into a hell's nest of them here. They waited until our orbital support had moved out, and then they hit us from all sides. Fight! We need you, and we need you now!